Good morning and welcome to the GEMS report, brought to you by Clarion Events Fire and Rescue Division and the Journal of Emergency Medical Services. My name is Ted Lee and I'm the editor in chief. Along with Jeff Frankel, our managing editor, we bring you hot topics and current events with subject matter experts and leaders in the EMS field. Today, we have a very special guest coming from the National Association of Mobile Integrated Healthcare Providers, Dr. Victoria Reinhardt. Welcome.
Good morning. Thanks so much for having me today.
It's a pleasure to have you. Thank you very much for taking your time to join us. So if you could, for our audience, give us a little bit of your background before we start getting into the parts of your organization.
Absolutely. So I'm currently serving as interim executive director for NAMI-HP. And if you can get that acronym right on the first time, power to you. You did great this morning, Ted. So yes, the National Association of Mobile Integrated Healthcare Providers, or NAMIHP, NAMI, is how we lovingly refer to ourselves often. So really excited to be here. And you know, while I'm currently serving as executive director, I have to say I've had the pleasure of being involved with this organization since its inception. And we're, you know, fairly new. We're about 3 years old, but we have been focused incredibly on growth over the last 3 years. So it's a really exciting time for the organization. And I'm excited to share any details or answer any questions that, you know, the audience might be interested in for today. But, you know, I'll also just give a very brief insight to my background as well. I am actually a pharmacist by training and background, and not even an emergency medicine pharmacist. I'm a chronic disease management pharmacist that works with underserved populations. So the concepts of mobile integrated health and community paramedicine have been very close to my heart now for, I guess, almost a decade. And it's really been a pleasure to serve in this capacity also with NAMI.
That's a very interesting background. And as you mentioned, you know, not emergency medicine. So how did that transpire that you started to become, you know, more interested and more integrated in, you know, mobile integrated health or, you know, community paramedic? A lot of these terms are flying around with varied understanding.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. So yes, it's unusual. There's not too many of us yet in the industry. And, you know, it started really organically. We recognize that we have patients that are not able to navigate the healthcare system. So either they're uninsured or underinsured, or they have dementia, or they don't speak English, or they're in a rural area or a primary care physician shortage area. Whatever the issue is, they can't access and navigate the healthcare system successfully. And those of us that are listening to this podcast and work within emergency medical services or firefighter paramedics, we know that those are the patients that often end up utilizing the 911 system to get their basic healthcare needs met. And, you know, I was serving as a pharmacist. I was working in the health department in my local county. So I was doing tuberculosis management and some chronic disease management for underserved populations. And I was doing a little bit of consulting on the side. And really organically, our county administrator said, you know, I have this amazing chief of EMS. They're wanting to start a community paramedicine program. They'd applied for a grant. And, you know, will you maybe give some insight on the medication aspect and what are the medication needs? And it really just organically started to grow from there, where the EMS chief and myself and, you know, other leaders from the county started to recognize that if we could implement a community paramedicine program that was really multidisciplinary, right? In a fully integrated healthcare team, that we would have better success. So we launched a pilot where the pharmacist and the paramedic went to the home side by side. The paramedic, of course, had a more traditional community paramedic role, and they utilized the pharmacist for, you know, triaging that chronic disease piece, helping to navigate what medication challenges could be resolved right now. So, you know, that was the true start of how I got involved in community paramedicine and MIH and fell in love with it. We were wildly successful and, you know, just in those 3 years saved our county about $5 million. And and never looked back. And so now, you know, I wear a couple different hats in the industry, and I'm really fortunate to do so from an education standpoint and program development evaluation, but also, you know, developing alongside some amazing others, the association.
Yeah, that's great. And, you know, one of the things that you mentioned that is so key to all this is that it's multidisciplinary. It's not just an EMS or a fire department issue. And it has, you know, quite a significant reach across, you know, other healthcare disciplines. And the impact, I mean, $5 million you mentioned, I mean, you can't ignore the impact that has on a community. So, you know, getting to the National Association of Mobile Integrated Healthcare Providers, you said about 3 years it's been around. So can you give us a little bit of background with the organization, its mission, and its intent?
Yeah, so, you know, the association was really born from a place of, you know, recognizing that previous to now, essentially, there has not been one core entity where mobile integrated health and community paramedicine was the sole focus. We have a variety of other associations that have done amazing things for emergency medical service and fire-based response agencies. But we recognized that as this industry grows, that an association and an establishment of, you know, one core group that would help to advocate for the industry, focus on business development, networking and connections, facilitating resources and toolkits. And that really bred right into our mission. And that is our mission, is to help support each and every one of these teams where, you know, we have a vision that every patient receives the care that they need in the right place, in the right time, in the right location. And we recognize that as part of our mission, right, we have a responsibility to step in and own the mobile integrated health industry, the community paramedicine industry, and help to really make sure that all of you that are out doing this work, that is incredible for your communities, that you have a group behind you, pushing you, giving you the information and the support that you need.
I think that's, you know, pretty critical for this because it's so new, and there's so many diverse and different groups out there trying to do this type of work, whether it be hospital-based or community-based or fire-based, even some, you know, private agencies that are reaching out to do this. But with the uniqueness of, you know, each state, you know, and each municipality trying to do this, it can be a daunting task without, you know, additional help.
Absolutely. And I think that, you know, part of the problem across healthcare is that healthcare is so siloed. And we have, you know, all these different industries that pop up and they work just within their own small unit. And that results in people falling through the cracks of the healthcare system, right, where they don't really fit in this silo and they don't really fit in this other silo. And community paramedicine and mobile integrated health is the bridge between those silos. It helps to make sure that the silos don't stay standing alone, but that we have a connection between all of them. And, you know, recognizing as well that the people that are establishing community paramedicine and mobile integrated health programs are innovative, and they are the ones that see those patients falling through the cracks. And often the bridge that they build from one silo to the next or to meet that gap in their community is really niche to their own individual community or their own county or their own city or town. Every county has a little bit different footprint when we talk about what resources can be leveraged. And so, again, that's where, you know, having the resource like the association, for example, that can come in and help to standardize some elements so that you are mirroring what other counties are doing in the state, and or help to give you light and insight and connection to even those from other states or other programs that have found really meaningful and impactful financial success as well.
Yeah. So, you know, having those resources, of course, you know, not trying to recreate the wheel when it's already worked somewhere else. But at the same time, you know, this isn't a one size fits all. What, you know, may work in Kansas might not work in Alabama or, you know, something like that. So, you know, having a national association with resources that spread out and have probably seen similar situations or have similar resources could be a real help for these agencies that are struggling to try to get onto their feet.
Absolutely, it can be, yes. And, you know, we also recognize that mobile integrated health is changing on a what feels like minute to minute, right? And so, you know, we know that we have to get a really good footprint of what the industry looks like as well. And this year, you know, in 2024, we have made it a focus to really start to engage the programs and the leaders that are doing this work and get their perspective off of what is happening in their state, what is happening in their county, what is happening in their program. And, you know, in the coming months, we'll have a survey that gets released so that any community paramedic, any, you know, EMS personnel, firefighter, paramedics, no matter what area of the industry that you're in, and whether you're even a stakeholder, that you can respond to the survey and help to contribute to the aggregate of data and information that we have as we start to really figure out who needs to be connected with who, how do we standardize things to a certain degree, but allow for the individuality of each program to really meet that community need. So there's definitely a lot of exciting initiatives that we have, you know, we've started to undertake this year, for example, that we really hope are going to help enable us to achieve our mission, but also really support the programs on an individual basis too.
So you mentioned a survey coming up, but you also have a conference, correct?
We do, yes. And so I'm so excited that this will go out before the conference. So, you know, again, when we started the association, Ted, it was, you know, we said, well, let's maybe do like a half day conference once or twice a year. And that has now grown into a full, essentially 2.5 to 3 day conference multiple times a year. And so that is the MIH Summit. So if you haven't heard about the MIH Summit yet, or if you haven't attended one, 2024 is the year. So our summit is coming up March 20th and 20th to 22nd, really 21st to 22nd, but the 20th are all the pre-conference days. And we have, you know, I think we have 7 different pre-conference events even for the 2-day summit. So it is in partnership with Atrium Health, and we are just really excited. We have, I want to say 87 speakers or something coming, and it's a good time. So if you haven't checked it out yet, please do consider joining us.
So with the survey, it sounds like you guys are starting to get into the realm of doing research as well. Is that a goal of NAMI-HP?
It is. Ted, I have to be honest with you. I couldn't have planted these questions better. I should have asked for a list of questions maybe ahead of time, but I feel like all the things that I had in my mind today to want, you know, talk about, you're already like completely on it. So kudos to you there. But yes, the answer is we are really starting to work on the research side. So, you know, again, existing research on these models are very niche, right? And that's because, you know, a heart failure MIH program is not going to look at the same and track the same types of data and information as a falls program, as an opioid use disorder program. And so, you know, while we have had some really incredible programs that have done their own research and then published that research, and that's fantastic, you know, we also recognize that there's a lot of merit in the association seeking out grant opportunities and partnerships for specific either research-based projects and or for projects really geared towards, you know, helping to develop out programs, helping to develop out, you know, elements and protocols on a statewide level, for example. So we even, you know, have started applying for grants in the last 4 to 6 months. And, you know, we have a grants committee as part of the association now and some really incredible motivated individuals who've been working hard on that. So, you know, I would say if you're listening to this, know that I think first and foremost, know that we hear you, right? And we recognize that there is a need for additional support, and we're growing out our research and grants focused in order to meet that need. But I think really number two, and the key thing from this perspective that any listener should take away is, you know, if you are looking for partners or if you have a really exemplary program, for example, and you think that there's merit in replicating that across the state, come talk to us, because that's exactly the type of support that we want to be able to offer, is take some of these really successful models and then take it to areas that have less or fewer resources.
So you also talk about, you know, being a resource, you know, for the, you know, for the profession. Do you guys plan to, or are you actively engaged in lobbying at the federal level for this as well?
We're not actively engaged in the lobbying piece. We are fairly actively engaged on the advocacy piece, right? So we have a legislation and regulatory committee, and that group really does try to keep an eye on, you know, the industry and different opportunities, you know, the days on the Hill, et cetera, right, for ways and opportunities that we can help to advocate for the industry. So, you know, we recognize that the association, you know, our board of directors, our committees are key in really helping to lead those efforts. But really prominently, our membership is important for that. If you have an area, or you live in a state, or you have, you know, even local county government that is maybe a little bit on the fence about community paramedicine or mobile integrated healthcare, what it is, why they should support it, and you know, how to do so effectively, then taking opportunities for advocacy is so important. And we also are really excited, as our membership continues to grow, to really find those motivated, driven, highly communicative individuals, right, that are motivated towards advocacy. So yes, our leaders in the association are doing a lot on advocacy, but it's the membership, and we're excited. So if it sounds like something that you want to get more involved in, please do reach out.
So what kind of reach have you guys, you know, or success stories have you had so far in the 3 years?
Well, I think that, you know, we were looking at our 2023 data points, right? Fairly recently, we're early on in the year here. And so in 2023, we grew by 54%, which is great. And we were really excited about it. We have now reached 46 states. We have a couple international members as well. And, you know, it just is incredible. And I remember when we first started the association, there were, you know, a couple naysayers that said, you know, there might not be enough interest. And, you know, here we are on the verge of 1,000 members, right? We're getting close to that. And that's not what we see. We see that every single day, people are joining the association, people are, you know, signing up to come to the summit, the MIH summit, and our events, and figuring out, you know, if there's a group that is trying to push MIH and community paramedicine and support us, it's this group. So, you know, the reach that we have had has been fantastic from that standpoint. And the summit that, you know, is coming up, we are about just about 4 weeks out, right? At the time of this recording, we'll be a little closer to that when it goes live. But, you know, we're already at, you know, about 280 or so people that are registered to attend. And so, and we still have a month out from that. So, and we know paramedics and EMTs, a lot of times we do things last minute, things happen on the fly in this industry, which is so great, right? So, you know, we're expecting well over 400, and we're excited about that. But, you know, the reach is one part of that. But I think the other part of your question, right, is what are we doing with it? And how are we, you know, finding success and trying to blend that mission of offering support, but also, you know, advocate for our programs and our teams. So I think that the summits, of course, are a key element of our success. To go from, you know, 2 years ago, essentially offering a half day mini conference type of event, to now, you know, two or three different times a year, we're doing, you know, 2 to 3 day full blown conferences where hundreds of people are coming. That's a huge success, to be able to garner those types of resources and put them all in one place for the industry. The other big success I think that I would like to mention is we did establish the first national MIH week. So the second week of October is MIH week. And, you know, our first year was fantastic as far as engagement of the industry, and even 2024, it's February and we already have people asking about it. Do you have a proclamation that I can send to my governor or you know, to even to my county officials? And so that is really incredibly exciting to start to have some momentum behind what will be a recurring annual MIH week.
Yeah, I mean, to get something like that, yes, it shows to the point of it growing and gaining momentum, as you mentioned, to be recognized like that. You mentioned internationally. Can you speak a little bit on the international reach or the interest internationally?
Yeah, we have had several members join from Canada. We've had members join from the Virgin Islands and a couple other places, even from Europe as well. We recognize that internationally, the paramedicine industry looks very different, right?
Right.
We know that from all aspects, really, you know, education and scope of practice, and there's so many different components of what is done internationally that, you know, doesn't directly mirror community paramedicine and mobile integrated healthcare in the United States, but we recognize that there's a lot to be learned about, you know, how we need to approach changes in the industry and where the association can support changes if and when they're appropriate. So, you know, the interest, I think, from the member standpoint is seeing that, you know, we have established this association that is working to change healthcare across the United States here. And we recognize also that the expertise and knowledge sets and you know, contributions that we can borrow from our members that are living overseas or in other countries is invaluable. So we're really excited about not just the growth here in the United States, which has been amazing, but also from other countries as well.
Right. Just as, you know, it's so unique from state to state and, you know, certain things might work in one state, but, you know, might not work in the other. Internationally, there's a lot to learn, you know, from our brothers and sisters in different settings and different countries. And like you mentioned, the scope of practice or what they're doing. But, you know, to have a fall program or have an opioid addiction program or something, you know, that's not unique to the United States. You know, that's something that is globally useful and can be, you know, integrated in a lot of different systems. So that's quite exciting to hear about NAMI-HP and the growth that it's had in its short time.
Yeah, so, it's been amazing. So I'm really excited about it. And I feel like we could talk about it for hours here, Ted, but I know we have we have a limited time.
Well, as we start to wrap up, is there anything else that you would like to mention that, you know, maybe hasn't been mentioned or, you know, a key topic to bring up as we wrap this up?
I think the drive home point that I want everybody to walk away with is that NAMI-HP has agreed to work in partnership with GEMS for helping to make sure that GEMS readers have access to information and resources and expertise that we have here in the association. And so, you know, our growth of the association and also the growth of the entire industry is only as good as the partnerships and the reach and the communication that we're able to achieve. And so I'd like to say thank you to GEMS for the opportunity for our entity to partner with you and help to provide some of that. And then, you know, I think in closing, please do join the association. If anything in community paramedicine or mobile integrated health is of interest to you, this is the place. We want to support you. We want to connect you to what you need and help you grow. So please do check us out. I'll make sure that Ted has all of the links and the information. And if we can see you at the summit, March 21st and 22nd in Nashville, Tennessee, come on over. We're excited to have you.
Yes, very exciting. And we're excited as well in the GEMS community about the partnership with NAMI HP. We'll be very fortunate in helping, you know, get the messaging out with monthly content. There'll be some podcasts and some webinars that are pushed out throughout the year as well with mobile integrated health and community paramedic focus. And we think, you know, here at GEMS that it's our job to help get these messages out. And we are only as strong as, to your point, we are only as strong as the partnerships that we have with the community and making sure that we're putting out, you know, effective and efficient and important information that's useful to our EMS communities as they grow. And we're really excited about this as well. So we really appreciate the opportunity.
The same, absolutely. And thank you to all the listeners. The work that you're doing in your communities is so important. So we're excited to support you and thank you for everything that you're doing in community paramedicine and mobile integrated health as well.
Well, Dr. Reinhardt, thank you for taking time out of your busy day. And we look forward to the NAMI HP partnership and the content that will be coming out. I will be seeing you at the summit. That is on my agenda. So we'll be able to report from that as well. So thank you very much for your time.
Wonderful. Thanks again for having me.